Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented person who's probably the most likely guest we've ever had to know what the fuck you're talking about right there.
Yeah.
She is the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Molly Lambert!
Hey.
I'm trying to think of a song parody. What's up, guys? Stop. GameStop in the name of the stock market before nice. You crash the stock market
before you take my yacht.
Hey, stop
take
it
their
with
yachts.
This
with what's this up guys what's
stock
up guys
manipulation. What's up, Molly? How are you?
I am good.
You think there'll be a new movement just like walking down Wall Street and starting to pat people's pockets? You know what I mean? Like if you see a guy in a suit, you're like, what's up, homie? What you got for me? Like, oh my God, what's going on?
Oh yeah, I'm going to show up in costume as the Brave Girl statue.
Oh, not the Brave Girl from Brave. The Brave Girl.
No, I do look like the Brave Girl from Brave, but there is a statue they put up of like, it's like a little girl boss and she's like standing looking at the bull and being like, I'm going to get
boss.
You, bull, girl boss. So yeah, everybody give the girl boss their money.
Give it up for girl bosses.
Yeah. I also am into just bringing back like pick pottery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
You said
pickpocketry. Pickpocketry, yeah.
Yes, pickpocketry, yes. The forgotten arts.
Artful dodger.
Yeah.
But pretty, like whenever you go anywhere that has like trains, you still got pickpockets.
Yeah.
My first time in New York
when I lived since I was younger. I lived in New York when I was like 6, 7. But then as a teenager, when I lived in Kentucky, my friends and I went to New York and I claimed that I had been pickpocketed and they were like, oh shit, that's wild. And then they eventually learned that I actually just had like a 20 in the waistband of my basketball shorts. And they're like, nobody pickpocketed that, man. That just like fell out of your basketball shorts, you dumb fuck.
Oh, you had waistband money with no pockets?
No pockets. Just a little 20 in my waistband.
You're asking for the Artful Dodger to
I mean, it clearly fell out of it.
Come pick a pocket or two.
I remember those days. That's like when I used to wear only Nike basketball shorts before they wised up and put pockets in them. So I would be wearing like Cincinnati Bearcats shorts, no pockets, and like $80 in my waistband, like pinned to my torso because I had, but I was really careful about that shit because I could, I remember I lost a 5 once riding my bike. And after that, I always kept track of my waistband money.
I blamed it on pickpockets every time. It's like, that's so these funny. Damn pickpockets.
Those Times Square.
Like, I was wearing boxers too back then. So, like,
you were like, oh, the Warriors nothing. Came through like a gang and exactly. clown right. makeup just yeah, right. appeared on roller skates and took your money.
Those guys who were dragging their hockey sticks all menacingly on the ground as they walked towards us.
That needs to become a reality now that we're living in this world that bears a striking resemblance to lots of different works of dystopian fiction. We need to start dressing up as like themed gangs.
That's what the Capitol storming seemed like a little bit.
Loose collection.
Yeah, just like not very well designed. Like their theme was all like dot matrix printer camo and red hats. Like
it was a little bit clown gang though. I had just watched Batman Returns and
saw
a lot of similarities with kind of just the roving clown gang.
Right. So you want to see like the Visco cam people like march on the Capitol. So there's a little bit more aesthetic to it. Right.
Matt, what is something you think is underrated?
Oh, underrated, real talk. And I hate to bring this, you know, podcast down a little bit, but Dustin Diamond, RIP to a real one. I think Dustin Diamond, the guy who played Screech, you know, he recently died.
Yeah.
And I think that he, as a human being, was constantly underrated his whole life. I think he was treated like dog shit his entire life, and people wondered why he was like such a dick after, you know, Saved by the Bell. And I was like, I get it, man. I understand. As someone who grew up looking like Screech and being called Screech a lot until Harry Potter came out, and then I started being called Harry Potter. Like, I understand what it's like to, you know, to constantly be shit on by people who look like Zach Morris and, you know, I felt like after he died, I felt like really sad about it because like I feel some sort of kinship with Screech. Like we're kind of like, you know, we're kind of brothers in that way, except for I was never a child actor, you know, and never put out a porno or anything. But like,
you know, I thought there was something like problematic about him, but then all the stories seemed to be that he like edited himself into a point, like it was like just actually a really sad story, like a pathetic story.
Oh, is it
story.
He edited himself? Listen.
He edited himself into a porno to make it seem like he was in a porno, which is...
It's pretty bad. But there's a lot of things about him that are like, I mean, there's constant stories about him, you know, kind of like, kind of just being dicks to people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a few Screech stories that have kind of like made the rounds, right? And I understand, like, I understand why he would be the way he is, because, you know, like, he was a child actor in Hollywood, which is a predatory industry. He played a character that was constantly getting shit on. He played the worst kind of character too, because it's like, in any other TV show, it would have been like Freaks and Geeks. There's the nerds and there's the cool kids, and they don't meet, you know, in between.
Right.
The worst thing about Saved by the Bell is that technically Screech was Zach Morris's best friend. It was the most gaslighty, emotionally manipulative relationship you've ever seen on television, where you have this, you know, freaking Aryan god, you know, who gets all the chicks, and then this little like crypto Semitic character who they never say that he's Jewish, but let's be real, this is a Aryan versus Jew type of thing, and he's pretending like that's his best friend, but he shits on him all the time. And everyone makes fun of him, and like Lisa Turtle won't give him the time of day. Like, why not? He's perfectly good. He's smart. He's a smart guy. I understand he's kind of weird, but you got to get to know him a little bit. Point is that like, you know, I feel like his entire persona and whatnot is a result of playing this character Screech and people giving him crap for that. And, you know, I feel like in the afterlife, he shall have his revenge.
His revenge. You believe in a vengeful god, and that vengeful god is Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach Morris is a very interesting character, like very much. I haven't seen the reboot of Saved by the Bell, but
neither have I.
Very much like introduced me to the concept of like a winning predatory capitalist kind of guy who like everybody can't help but like while he is like, you know, stealing money from you and
doing
treating
crimes
you like shit, but
like,
very likably.
He does crimes likably and cheats all the time, and
he's
is like
the original American Psycho.
Straight up original American Psycho, and like, you know, but you're just charmed by him because he's hot. And you're just like, nah, there's more to this world than just being hot. You know, you got to have like strength of character, and you never had that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to. I had to look it up and figure out what was going on with Dustin's sex tape. Mm-hmm. So he used a fake wang because he didn't want to put himself out there like that. He did hire a quote body double, and he decided to do it after the Paris Hilton tape, where she apparently earned $14 million. He was in his like mid-20s and he thought it was a good idea, but in 2004 he went on Oprah's Where Are They Now. He was in his mid-30s by then, and he was like, yeah, I realized it was stupid of me to try to get millions of dollars like Paris Hilton, but you know,
that is a very
shines of the new,
that is a very profound misunderstanding of the dynamics of the sex tape industry and what people were looking for from Paris Hilton and from him.
He misread that a bit, like clearly they just want to see anyone who's ever been on television fuck. And it's like, that's not true.
But
it does, it begs the question why he felt the need, or how he could have been in a financial situation in which he would have been like desperate enough to put out a fake sex tape, you know. And a lot of it is because his, you know, I'm sure he was screwed out of all sorts of like syndication money and all that stuff, you know, because like Saved by the Bell is in syndication. He was in
constantly.
Both shows. He was in the new class and the old class. Why would he not have money? And he was constantly in money trouble. And, you know, I look at that and I say, Hollywood's a predatory industry.
Yeah. No, that's very fair.
Yeah.
Ramsey is in the house, by the way. My 4-year-old has joined us. Ramsey, you want to say hi to Matt and Joel?
Yeah.
Hi, Matt and Joel.
Hey,
Joel.
What's up?
Hi, Matt and Joel.
Oh,
my God. Oh, my gosh. My heart.
Precious baby.
All right. I'll have kids. Fine.
Whoa. Drastic decisions. Like everybody getting an animal. I'm like, chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a big thing right now, huh? Like just a lot of dog adoptions happening.
I almost did it.
I get it. I'm so close. Like I bought all the stuff for the dog. Now I just need the dog. The perfect one.
You know, you might just be okay with just all the stuff for the dog.
Just the crates and the bags.
Live with that for a couple weeks. See how that goes.
Like Joelle keeps buying all of these dog toys, but there's no dog.
My brother was like, do we need 3 dog beds? I was like, one for each floor. I want to be comfortable wherever
he is.
That's
true. Yeah. And that also like gives him a place. It trains him to always have a place as opposed to just like lying all over.
No, that's smart.
Everything.
Like brand new couch. I don't think so.
I don't think so, dog.
I don't think so, dog.
I'm assuming you're going to name him dog. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated? I'm sorry to Gen Z, but that damn driver's license song. Good Lord. I can't do... I'm so tired of the avocado singing. I just got my driver's license. But also, I'm like, maybe I get involved. You know, like, seems like an easy check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know she's got, like,
you just nailed it.
The Disney community behind her and stuff. So I know that there's, like, you know, the youth. Like, they have plenty of time to stream the song and blow it up. And I'm sure it's a fine song. But I was like, really? Number one in the world? This what we doing? Like, it's... I was just like, what is this? And I have the same thing to say about avocado singers that I have to say about R&B singers who are doing that, like, scissor, like, what are you saying? I want to sing along. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of having to just be like, can I know the words? What happened to enunciating?
It's not a karaoke-friendly singing style. Because you're like, oh, I do need the words. I really do need them.
And then when you read the words, you're like, wait, what? That's what, like, they were saying?
She said,
like,
what?
Right. We're all going to be at karaoke like, can we stop all night? Yeah. Seatbelt and I'm riding. Come inside.
That whole album is like, what?
Like, Ariana Grande has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. And I don't ever know what she be talking about. I don't know if we talking about sex. I don't know if we talking about... Honestly, Ariana could be organizing for Antifa. She's like, we're going to meet on Third Street. And we're going to be... That's how they stormed the Capitol. It was Ariana's single.
Yeah, she was sending messages through her vocals.
She's like, all of Congress will be in the right wing. We won't know. We never know.
That driver's license song, that was like one of those things where I didn't think I had heard it, but then I'm like, oh, I've heard that at 7-Eleven every time I've been in a 7-Eleven for a month. I just didn't. It's a real 7-Eleven kind of song.
Oh, it is.
No disrespect. I mean, it's like whatever. Like, I, because that was, the girl is from like the High School Musical TV series. Is that right?
That's right. Something else.
High School Musical, the movie, the TV show or something. Doesn't it have like some meta title like that?
Yeah. I'm feeling like an absolute boomer, not really knowing what it is. But it's like, good for her.
This one seems acutely designed to be only meaningful to people between, like, who aren't of legal drinking age yet. And like, that seems like it's kind of creating some of the popularity, because then everybody else is talking shit about it. And like, that's actually what makes pop music cool is like that old people hating it. So
it's bizarre. She was in that, and then a High School Musical, the musical, the series. Yes, that's exactly what it's called. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. I knew there was one other show, though. Yeah, but I don't know, Jack. It's like, it gives me, like, remember that song that was like, it started with a whisper. Na-na-na-na. It's like, that we all got tortured.
Also a huge 7-Eleven song.
We all got tortured by that song. But was anybody ever like, this is a bop? Like.
Yeah.
They just were like, listen to this song. Punching us. Yeah,
just cram it down.
I heard that song every day of my life.
And I could not tell you. Whose song is that even?
Who knows?
Nobody knows, Jamie. We've been trying to figure that out for years, and the scientific community is still baffled, unable to figure it out.
But I get the little emo side of the kids wanting this avocado song and liking to listen to it. It's fine. And she plays instruments. I'm not trying to take anything away from her as a musician. I was just like, I don't know. Can we sing with our voices again? No. And we're not going to say words. We're not going to put the T's at the ends of what? No. It's going to be what? No. What? Okay. Fair.
What did you just say?
Right.
Maybe that is like a thing. Like I feel like every generation has like a musical style where they don't respect certain letters. Cause it's like, whatever, like early 2000s pop music, they didn't finish their words either. Yes, where it's like, ba-ba. Yeah, it was like more of a vowel issue for that generation. Their vowels are all over the place.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate. Whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier, Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Great question, Jack.
Oh, thank you so much.
I will say underrated is any type of YouTube cooking video. Like we've all been in pandemic now for almost a year, so we've all been cooking at home. Like I have really been tearing through YouTube cooking videos, but not just like, you know, the dude or the lady or whoever sitting in their kitchen. Like, have you seen these videos of like, it'll just be like some random like Hungarian man with like a big knife in the woods just cooking in a pot? Have you seen those videos?
What? No.
Oh, they're so. Oh, I got
cooking
to put
with
on.
What? Like a over a just, fire?
Yeah, he'll like build a fire. And he just has this giant ordained knife, and like he'll it'll be like
him cutting up the meat and cutting up the onions. And like, he always puts like the spices on the giant knife and then dumps it into like his like cast iron as he's cooking over wood. The one that I watch the most is called Men with the Pot. I think he's like a Polish or Hungarian guy, because it'll have like salt in English and then it'll have like whatever like language he speaks translated. And it's just him cooking random delicious looking food in the woods with a pot and one giant knife. No spatulas, no tongs. It's just a dude with a big ass knife in the woods.
I love that. Whenever you see videos like that, I'm like, does this guy know about the coronavirus, or has he just like been in the woods with his knife for years?
Yeah,
that's just amazing.
Just doing his thing. It's great.
I do wonder, are there like remember that article right after Trump won where the New York Times guy is like, he's not a New York Times, he doesn't work for the New York Times, but he's just like the most New York Times reader that the New York Times has ever profiled. He's like got a beard and like a tote bag, and he like had quarantined himself off from the real world so he wouldn't find out who won the election and was like living in a separate reality.
I wish I could have that type of privilege. I could just escape reality for 4 years.
I wonder if he's still out there and doesn't know about the
maybe this is the guy. Maybe he's got his own badass cooking channel, right. YouTube channel.
Developed he's an accent.
Yeah.
I love isolated people with YouTube channels. It's so antithetical. Good. It makes sense.
Have either of you seen the dude that builds like spas in the middle of the jungle in South America?
Right, like I've carves them into him. The ground.
Yeah, it's just this one dude. He has two tools and it's just him like moving tons of dirt and building like elaborate spas in the middle of in the jungle. It's great.
How do you get there? Like, how do you arrive at that point where you're like, this is it for me? Like, I've done it. It's like the raccoon guy channel that he's like, it's this old man in Canada and he leaves out food. And then there's like 50 raccoons that comes to his porch every day. And he has 5 trillion subscribers.
Oh, that's my life. Give me
it's
that.
Nice. It's nice. It's and like they my love octopus him. Teacher.
It's like my octopus teacher, but with 50 raccoons, my 50 raccoon teachers. I do think that there's like a fascination with like the blending of, like a spa that's like dug into just like earth, or, a cooking video that's like the sort of complete other end of that continuum is that the new Amazon building. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's like they've created this giant like prism shaped spiral skyscraper, but like caked a park onto the outside of it, so that, like there's like a big
full supervillain stuff. I love it.
Yeah, that's, it really is.
At this point, why not?
Yeah, it's very Elysium, but kind of mixed. What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated, I would say, is propaganda, like TV shows that portray police officers, because these shows are basically marketing for police departments and they glorify and normalize the systemic violence and injustices that are handed out by the police and instead make them heroes. And so overrated.
Is there a piece of propaganda you've had to have a reckoning with over time as you're like, I realize this is just straight nonsense, but I loved it as a TV show or film.
I most of the time watch that stuff in it. Like I'm no fun to watch legal shows with. I scream at the TV. I'm like, that's not true. That would never happen.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I'm like really unfun. So this is why I just like, you know, I just instead watch like reality television.
There you go. Yeah. Cause like, what do we know about the K-1 visa process on 90 Day Fiancé, but watch a procedural with you. You're like, oh, that is not, oh my God, the chain of custody on that is absolutely bizarre. Right. That makes sense.
I watched Den of Thieves over the weekend. I had not seen that. That's the Gerard Butler 2018 movie that it like the protagonists are the LA Sheriff's Department. There are like vague implications that they're the ones who like have those tattoos and like basically kill people and like have white supremacist ties. But they cut all that out. You know, they make it the team a little bit more. verse, but it's like,
right,
you're supposed to be rooting for the LA Sheriff's Department in 2018.
Still having trouble, just like that Denzel movie that came out where people were like, this is also propaganda. I don't care if it's Denzel, and like we're taking a like rosy lensed look at 1993 policing. Yeah. But yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Chapo Trap House was like, had recommended that. They were like, that movie's great. It's like about a dirt bag and it's like, huh.
That's the one with O'Shea Jackson Jr., right?
Yeah. And it's,
yeah, that one takes a weird turn, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like,
yeah,
it's just
sure,
like testosterone fest. It's really, there's not much else in it.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, good. No, no, no. Watch Bling Empire instead, about
that
the real crazy rich
decision.
Asians of LA, which I was watching over the weekend.
Oh yeah, how is that?
Yeah, it's wild. You know, it's funny when you see like the, you know, just obscene wealth where like people are giving each other gifts and like, yeah, the towel has real gold in it. You're like, you gave someone a towel that had gold in it? And you're like, it's so obscene. And it's just like a whole other dimension of reality that we're not used to. Mm-hmm. Eliza, I am curious, as running for DA and saying things like propaganda, right? You know, a lot of people, as we've seen over the years, like to walk this weird line of being like, well, I don't want to make the police mad, but also wanting to also seek justice. In terms of, and you don't need to cast aspersions on the other people running, but it seems like how many people are running at the moment? Eight people.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been a tone right now for the other candidates? Because I feel like only one is not really about any kind of real reform, or seemingly doesn't seem like very forward thinking. But in terms of the race as it is right now, how many people are sort of have this sort of progressive viewpoint on how things need to change within New York?
Well, so you know what's so interesting, and I was kind of touching on this a little bit when I say that now all of a sudden it's become popular to say things like sex work is work.
Right.
And I'm so thrilled that people are coming around to the progressive views that we should decriminalize sex work, we should decriminalize drug possession, we should end mass incarceration and stop using, you know, jail as the default and punitive prison sentences for low-level offenses. But the problem is, even people who are now espousing progressive talking points because they're popular, sure, are not necessarily people who truly believe these things.
Right, right.
And I think some of the evaluations that have come out recently about the candidates really do kind of delve into these nuanced views of what kinds of changes you would make. And in those, like, I come out, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else. Like, I'm the only real progressive in the race who has the authentic commitment from my career, from my experience as being a public defender and fighting against this system of injustice. And it's not like all of a sudden one day I woke up and was like, oh, you know what? I think it'd be popular to say we right, should end mass incarceration. So that's right, the pivot I'm going to take. And yeah, I'm going to hold police accountable. And it's like people who've been working in conjunction with the police to lock people up for their entire careers all of a sudden are saying they're going to hold police accountable. Well, I've spent every day of my career cross-examining police officers and questioning the veracity of the things that they say. And so I think that, you know, prioritizing this kind of accountability for the police and these real reforms is incredibly important, but making sure that we're not just listening to someone's memorized talking points, but looking into their record, looking into their history, making sure that this is an authentic commitment to bringing about real change.
Right. And I can tell by the New York Post treatment of you, you probably are walking the walk, because they're painting you as someone who's like, this headline, most Manhattan DA candidates care most for protecting criminals? Wow. And just like such a disingenuous look on reform, which is like, these people just want, it's like, it's going to look like a Batman movie where they just open up the asylums and the jails and it's, you know, the people are going to be running wild, when it's really about, we have such an inhumane of treating people, and we're not addressing the root causes of anything. You know, credit to you, because the New York Post is absolute trash.
Listen, if the New York Post is criticizing me, I'm obviously doing something right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Great about it.
Our pick for Manhattan DA. Then it'd be like, ooh.
I know, exactly.
Do you aspire to one day have like a real shitty New York Post like pun headline about you? I feel like that would be the ultimate honor. Is like some pun.
Oh, they're gonna come after me undoubtedly. Like it'll be a daily occurrence of them just hating on me.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah hell yeah. Great. Let's talk about coronavirus, COVID-19, the big, I don't know, those are the only two names I know for it. Are you okay?
Yeah,
you,
just are you, like as soon as you said it, like
for
I got
effect,
a frog in my throat.
Yeah, that could be like, that could be a sound cue that we have every time we bring up coronavirus.
Yeah that's a nice one, sensitive to the 450,000 dead Americans.
COVID-19. That would be an amazing... That would be an amazing, like, morning zoo, like, talk radio thing where they're like, and now in coronavirus news, and then you just have, like, a
slide whistle.
All right. Well, the numbers are dropping, so we can have fun here, folks.
Yay.
People aren't really sure why. Like, it seems like it's partially vaccine. Partially we're seeing the, you know, remnants of the, you know, holiday travel. It's kind of clearing through our system after everybody went and saw their family during the holiday. And then there's also, so yesterday when I saw this chart, I was like, yeah, of course it's because Trump is gone. Like he was lying and like people, it's happening everywhere in the world. So we actually had to like cut a chunk of yesterday's episode out where I was just like ranting about how it was all Joe Biden. But I think that at least has to be like, I think there's a bunch of different factors combined, right? Like that's,
yeah.
In medicine, they do that all the time where they're like, there are four medications that we know how to treat this cancer with. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I do think weather has something to do with it too.
Yeah. So that was something I didn't realize until I started like kind of trying to research why it's dropping. Weather is a big contributing factor, like to the point that it's more important than like whether somebody is social distancing or not.
Yeah, well, I think because it, and I'm not a scientist. I just want to point that out in case people got confused. But I think social distancing and weather, they're correlated in that, like, you know, if it's freezing outside,
you're most likely to
be inside and stay inside with other groups of people rather than like these outdoor restaurants and whatnot. So people are still meeting up. But before, you know, they would go to a park or something, and now people are like, oh, let's go hang out and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, cuddle
and then
party.
Also,
yeah.
This is also, I think, the Christmas, you know, holiday bump, you know, kind of like had a huge surge, and now it's kind of like dropping again. So I think we're going to kind of level out for a bit, and then we'll continue dropping.
Yeah, so... There are a bunch of different articles about this talking about like what one thing that we know for certain is good for not spreading coronavirus or like bad for the actual spread of the virus is wind. Like if it's windy, it spreads much worse. And then we also know it really seems to be like a completely correlated with temperature. There's this study that found, I think it was... So starting at 88 degrees and going down by one temperature, every time you drop a single degree, the rate of transmission rose by 3.7%.
Wow.
So it's like that much of a just straightforward, like if it's this temperature, you are going to have a COVID spike, which seems relevant. And like I was thinking like why aren't we telling everybody this, because that seems like a very important thing, but they like nobody knows why other than that the actual like physical virus likes that temperature better, because they were saying that apparently I always assumed the influenza was seasonal because of, you know, what you were mentioning, Matt, like staying inside versus going outside during the summer months. And this scientist in this article was saying that, like, that actually the literature doesn't support that.
Oh,
we actually only spend like 10% more time indoors during the winter than outdoors on average, than we do during the summer on average.
Yeah, but what does he know, though?
Right?
I mean, you know, like...
Yeah. Which people are this? Who is outside 10% less in the... I feel like I never go outside in the winter. I'm like, home, inside, great. Yeah.
It might be because we never go outside in the summer either. it's too more hot. And more these days. It's too
I
hot.
Think about that.
Oh, right, right.
All right, I'm a hermit. I'm an antisocial
hermit. Right, I've been outside. We're podcasters. Inside weeks. Is our sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another kind of new emerging study or like kind of scientific area that they're looking at is COVID, what they're calling COVID long haulers, which gives it a very like 70s Smokey and the Bear like type vibe. But it's actually like people who a recent study of patients in Wuhan, China, found three quarters of them still have symptoms 6 months after they left the hospital.
God damn it.
So like that's...
Wait, how many? Did you say three quarters?
Three. Yeah. Three quarters. So that's obviously like they... This isn't a sample of everybody who tested positive, right? This is a sample of people who were bad enough to have to be hospitalized. But still, it's... I guess I have generally heard the stories of people who don't make it, or people who recover and just get back to their lives. I didn't really know about this. And apparently the illness that they're seeing a lot of these people have is very similar to chronic fatigue syndrome, which is a really strange and interesting disease that has like no biomarker. Like they can't find any physical thing in the blood, but it is. So like it's a nightmare scenario where you like are, you know, people, a lot of doctors are like, "You're, it's just in your head." And
yeah,
like more and more, they've been able to get rid of that stigma and been like, no, it's actually like they were talking to this one 16-year-old who can only sit up in bed for like 2 hours a day. And when he sits up, like when he's lying down, his heart rate is 65. Or in the 60s, and when he sat up, it goes to 135. Like,
oh my
it's,
God.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Brian Gumbel just did a really good piece on this for Real Sports of Brian Gumbel on HBO, where he interviewed athletes who had gotten COVID. Most of them were like college age athletes, like on their track team. So girl got COVID. She had all the like base symptoms, like couldn't smell anything, like achy, feverish sort of symptoms. Was out for 2 weeks. She got up. She was like, oh, I feel better. I'm going to go for a run this morning. She said she got like 200 meters out of her door and was like ready to collapse and just couldn't do it. And it's been something like 3 or 4 months and she still can't go for like a regular run. Ugh. It's just wild the havoc this can wreak on bodies, especially like perfectly healthy bodies. I think, you know, for pre-existing conditions, there's a lot of thought of like, okay, well, obviously that's going to take some extra effort, but it's perfectly healthy human beings that are just being like knocked over by this disease.
Right.
It's wild to think some people are still like, it's the flu. Like, yeah, bro, right. It's not.
Right. Ugh. Like after a bender of like ice cream and pizza for a week, that a college track athlete is healthier than I have been on my healthiest day in the history of my life. Like, yeah. So that is
my biggest fear about starting to work out.
Yeah, like totally.
My biggest fear about like deciding to like overhaul my life and go completely, you know, have a healthy lifestyle is that like I'll be stricken with something. And I'll be like, you know what? I should have never started. I should have just lived up the last few years. Instead, I decided to get all buff and look good. And now
I could have had pizza the whole goddamn time.
Yeah. And now I'm sitting here, I can't do nothing. And I should have just been eating hamburgers the whole time. Same shit.
You know?
That's my big fear.
Yeah. It really does seem somewhat random. There's also, and I have no reason to believe this is connected other than that they reminded me of each other, but just anecdotally, I feel tired constantly.
I know.
Yes.
I know so many people who feel tired constantly. I don't know if that is, you know, just the fact that we don't, like, I definitely feel less tired if I go somewhere during the day. So maybe it's just like that we're in the, like, I do exercise, I run, but I am running you know, 30 feet from where I'm sitting right now on a treadmill. Right. And like, yeah,
it's different. Cause like the fatigue you're talking about is like the, it's like a, almost a psychosomatic fatigue where it's not really about the overall health of your body. It's more about, you know, the fact that you're stuck inside during a, you know, a mass pandemic and it's very depressing. And you're just like, you know, in this little, you know, hamster cage. And we're like, I guess I'll spin on the wheel. Like, you know, the hamster might be physically healthy, but he's still sad.
Yeah. Aww. And people at home can't see that I am drinking from one of those upside down drip bottle things that they have in hamster cages. So that probably sitting on a bunch of wood chips.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
If anybody's dealt with the exhaustion and has like ideas, all ears, you know where to find me.
Oh, I have an idea for you though.
I mean,
how often do you go outside and like do activities?
Oof.
Not that often, right?
What is it? February? probably. Yeah. No, so, I do go outside with my kids and like take walks and stuff.
Okay. Well, so you're probably fine then. But I, as someone who was spending months and months and months inside and like every time thinking about like going out, I was just like, it's always got to be at the like park and it's always like, you know, I'm just walking around and I'm just like, it wasn't fulfilling. And then I discovered the game of golf. And I tell you guys, golf, I get it now. I get it. Yeah, golf, you go and there's like all the people are far away from you. Everyone who's playing at the hole in front of you, they're, you know, 100, 200, 300 yards away. The people behind you, another 200, 300 yards. And you're just alone and you're just playing golf and you're bad at it. And people behind you are mad because you're like taking a lot of time, but you're free, dog. You're free. Right. You're out there. You're breathing the good air. It's like, it's a good COVID relaxation sport. You get outside, you get a little physical exercise, and you don't feel like you're that hamster on the wheel. So play golf.
Okay. Yeah. They do have all the best spots in LA. They've just been like, okay, these are golf courses now. Everybody can go fuck themselves except people who golf.
Yeah, but now you can be someone who golfs. And I tell you, you feel bad for the first few times doing it because you're like, oh, this is what my life has become. I'm a douchebag. But then after a while, you start to own the douchiness of it. And then it's not so bad.
Yeah. I would be going around on one of those scooter things. Segways.
Yeah, golf carts. That's
from hole to hole.
Dude, that's like half the fun.
No, like a standing Job segue.
tear up the golf course as you go.
Yeah.
Gonna be so mad at you. Just all your grass.
You're just on a segue in a golf course.
Take a segue back and forth to the golf
to the cart.
Golf cart. Yeah.
Stop.
I don't want to do any physical exercise.
The world is like reacting to the fact that Jeff Bezos is stepping down as Amazon CEO to become vice chair, which is another position that allows him to do the same thing he's been doing. Like, I really need someone to explain to me. I've read the articles about this, and I cannot figure out why anyone should give a shit about this at all. But people... It just seems like an opportunity for the mainstream media to write articles that reinforce the sort of pro-billionaire propaganda. Like, it's all like, he started Amazon in a garage in Washington State, you know, a mere 20 years ago. And it's like, well, he was also a Wall Street guy who then did that. Like, he rented out a garage probably for a lot of money and like, outfitted it with an orange couch because he heard that's what you're supposed to do at startups and like but
people don't think of garage like that. Like whenever I hear that narrative spun, it's always he started it in his garage. So people were thinking like two car garage and like he was like Amazon.com baby road
like it was
a
fucking Nirvana or something. Like
I don't know. It just ties into the overall myth of American capitalism that there's like these individual great man accomplishments and not that this is the inevitable consequence of a system that doesn't defend against monopoly. And like one person is going to get that successful. And like, it's funny, even this Wall Street Journal article, like it's like, with a day one philosophy of always maintaining an underdog startup ethos. However, in recent years, Mr. Bezos has stepped back from day-to-day management. He doesn't set schedule meetings before 10 a.m. and makes all his tough decisions before 5 p.m. Employees say the billionaire is elusive. That's how they describe it, with many saying they have never spotted him on the company's sprawling downtown Seattle campus. So he doesn't show up to work or works like, you know, between 10 and 5, which are things that would cause somebody to get immediately fired from an Amazon warehouse job.
Right.
Well, also, he could fucking solve world hunger today. Like, yes. I just, like, discussing the, like, ins and outs of his day-to-day, I feel like it's just, like, glorifying some, like, you know, innocuous, like, who gives a shit what he does at what time? He could fucking solve world hunger. He could help people, but he is not. He fucking destroyed Seattle, and he's, like, just I don't know. I just and the way that these stories are framed of like the whatever the like he's just a startup guy who like worked really hard and hustled his way to the top, and it just like implies that he has somehow earned all of this when it's like we know that that's not true. Like
he's exploiting people and that he's killing people and he's responsible for many deaths that they cover up all the time. The Amazon warehouses are an OSHA nightmare, like, and they just hide it. They don't make reports. There's been so much. If you just one quick Google away, you can find out. And that's why I hated when all that negative press came out about Amazon during the pandemic. They made all these weird commercials where they basically were like holding people at gunpoint, like, I love Amazon. They treat me so good here. Jeff Bezos is like a father to me. What is happening? Those were so weird. And also,
yeah, and everywhere.
They were everywhere. And if we haven't learned anything from the GameStop thing, is that the game is fucking rigged. Look at what happened when all the little everyday average Joe people got their hands on some stocks that were being shorted. All of a sudden, your app doesn't work and you can't trade at all because it was never built for you to be a millionaire. You're not going to be able to work hard or make trades and be a millionaire because there's already millionaires and billionaires who are going to make sure you cannot get to that level because that's how they stay rich. So I'm like, I'm still praying for GameStop. They in my prayers like they on the sick and shut in. I'm like, please, please, y'all, hold the line. Don't sell them stocks so that we can just, I want to ruin all the hedge funds. I know we're going to end up paying for it in our tax dollars, but I just want to see it happen.
I feel like that one's already been, is already being sunset to like, this is what happens when you go against the big guy, and like being covered as like the GameStop thing was folly.
Right. But it's like, but also keep hustling, everybody. This could be you. And it's like, no,
it couldn't.
It's been made exceedingly clear that it fucking couldn't be us.
I think we all need to just like look at that and realize like that is the perfect example of like, you cannot be a billionaire because billionaires will not let you.
Right.
The thing of specifically trying to reinforce the underdog myth, which is the main motif that gets reasserted over and over again in these articles about him retiring, really, like, it really seems like it's the War Department thing again. Like, I taught for shorthand, I talk about how the U.S. military changed its name from War Department to Department of Defense once they started waging offensive wars, because you like do that, you change the name to be the opposite of the truth so that you can like kind of cover up for it. And like with trying to portray billionaires as underdog stories, like the when people look at how billionaires make their fortune, it's always the opposite of that. It's always they find an advantage over someone who's smaller or has less, you know, resources than them, and just exploit the shit out of that until they have billions of dollars. That's the only way to become a billionaire, is by being a predatory capitalist who preys on less powerful, you know, dynamics, basically. But because we don't like the idea that that is the secret to capitalism, we tell ourselves over and over again and pay the Wall Street Journal to tell us over and over again that it's all Disney movies where the underdog came up.
It's just like I don't know. And it's weird because I feel like it's kind of unspoken that most people recognize that it is like a false narrative, but it hasn't stopped it from being pushed over and over and over.
Yeah, I think I do wonder if we're like moving in that direction, but it does seem like it's, you know, you wouldn't know it from reading like the mainstream accounts of Jeff Bezos and
sure.
the way that
it's like a question of like, well, how many of these papers does Jeff Bezos own? You know, like
right.
it goes all the way to the top there.
Yeah. So this Dyatlov Pass story is one that it's a staple of the, you know, conspiracy theory community. I first came across it in an article like I think over a decade ago on Cracked that was basically big famous unsolved mysteries that totally have solutions. And so here I'll tell you what the mystery is since you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So 10 members of this This is a real thing.
Okay. The way you started off, it sounded like a weird fucking right. like riddle.
So
like,
it was a stormy night and right. 10 members of like a polytechnic institute, like a scientific college, 9 students and 1 sports instructor who had fought in World War II headed up into the frigid wilderness. This is like 1959. One student with joint pain turned back, and the rest, led by a 23-year-old engineering student, continued on. There's camera film, personal diaries later found on the scene that makes it clear they made camp on February 1st, pitching a large tent on the snowy slopes of a mountain I'm not going to try to pronounce, probably not one you're intimately familiar with, but the name can be interpreted as Dead Mountain in the language of the region's indigenous Mansi people. So when a search team arrived a few weeks later, because they just nobody ever heard from them again, the expedition,
the other guy made it back.
The other guy made it back, and he never heard from them again. Like wow. None of the planned, you know, rendezvous. Right. Happened. Their tent was found barely sticking out of the snow. It appeared to be cut open from the inside. The next day, the first of the bodies were found near a cedar tree. Over the next few months, as the snow thawed, they gradually uncovered just all sorts of creepy bodies. All 9 of the team members' bodies were scattered around the mountain slope, some in a baffling state of undress. They were half naked. Some of their skulls and chests had been smashed open. Others had eyes and one lacked a tongue. Others had eyes missing and one lacked a tongue. And yeah, people were like, this doesn't make any sense. There was also like radiation on one of the bodies. And so people, like the official explanation from the Soviet bureaucracy was, quote, unknown natural force. And so that, like, it's impossible not to be into this as like somebody who's open to conspiracy theories.
Right. Cause it could be anything. It's like,
yeah, it could be anything.
Monsters, Yetis, whatever.
So back when we wrote about it, we pointed out that it made sense as an avalanche, and just kind of some of the more inexplicable details, like the radiation isn't actually that uncommon for anything that's been laying in a snowy area that gets a lot of sun, because snow is a tremendous reflector of the sun's energy. The missing eyes and tongue are pretty common with bodies left in the wilderness for a long time, since animals go for the soft parts first. And the various states of undress are pretty common for anybody suffering from hypothermia. And, you know, the theory being that they ran out of their tent when they heard an avalanche coming at night, and the tent and all their stuff was buried. And so they died of hypothermia. People will, as they're dying of hypothermia, feel hot and like take off some of their clothes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's
cause,
like,
oh, because your shit's just so fried.
You're just delirious. You're
like, yeah. Oh my god.
So the but people there was a lot of like pushback on that theory. Not just that that was like one of the more common explanations, and we just pointed out that it made a lot of sense. In ways that conspiracy theorists were
pushing back. Like my first thing was like, yeah, probably like if they're scattered everywhere too, like who knows if even the avalanche took some people.
Yeah. So there was no snowfall on the night that the avalanche would have happened. And usually you need snowfall to add weight to the snow burden that triggers the collapse. Most of the blunt force trauma like injuries and some of the soft tissue damage were atypical of things caused by avalanches, where usually people mostly asphyxiate. And then if an avalanche had occurred, there's this thing about like a gap of 9 hours between when they made camp and when the avalanche happened. I think it assumes that they would have caused the avalanche because they're like cutting into the side of the mountain to make camp. And that's usually how those things happen. And yet it happened 9 hours later. So this new study basically just takes those down point by point. I think the most interesting way it's taken down is that the idea that there's, did I mention the fact that people say it wasn't a steep enough hill that they were camped
no,
on?
No. Oh, so they're saying it was even too flat for an avalanche?
It was too flat for an avalanche is okay. One of the things they're saying. But that's actually a optical illusion that you see. Have you ever like heard of places where they say like water flows uphill and it's like this mystery of like a place where gravity doesn't operate or gravity's weird? Dude. Like you drop a stone and it kind of falls to the side.
Hell yeah, dude. Every year at Burning Man.
So all of that actually is a thing that happens. Like basically you're at a place that a chunk of flat ground that is actually on a portion of ground that's embedded within a larger slope. So even though all your sort of context clues point to the fact that you're on flat ground, you're actually on a slope. And that's what was happening here. They say that this piece of land, when you go and study it, has at least the 30% grade needed to trigger avalanches. There wasn't snowfall, but there was massive wind. But one of the reasons this is like kind of a fun story that I think might actually like become popular enough to put an end to this is that they used Frozen, the Disney movie, to figure this out.
Wait, clues from the film?
Yeah,
revealed the truth. Or yeah.
So one of the scientists who is basically created this paper with the official explanation back when Frozen came out was like, holy shit, they have absolutely nailed the way snow falls and is blown away and is like actually behaves. And so he actually traveled to Hollywood and met with the 3D modeling company that created the snow for Frozen and like got a better idea of how snow behaves and like used their algorithms that they used on Frozen to better inform his algorithms of just like how snow operates.
Holy shit.
And then they also consulted these old GM studies that they had done with a bunch of cadavers, like back when people weren't paying as much attention. GM took 100 dead bodies and just like threw heavy shit at them and just like studied the way that the bodies were destroyed.
Were 14-year-olds in charge of that study?
I know, right?
The fuck you? Yeah, we just smash them up, and we're like,
no! And
all
so,
right, yeah, it's bad.
So looking at that study data, they basically found that the injuries were pretty consistent with what you would have seen if there was a like SUV-style chunk of hard snow or ice inside of the avalanche, which is
hitting you, right?
Yeah. So
wow.
They think the avalanche hit them. They were camped at a pretty, like when you look at where their beds were, they were actually like dug into the snow in a way that they were pretty well supported. So when the thing hit them, they were pretty demolished, but probably didn't die. And then their campmates like dragged them out to safety.
And then it all went downhill.
Yeah, all went downhill from there. But it's a wild story, and I don't know. I do think that this is the explanation. I don't think there's been, Yeti, alien Yeti. Explanations.
Yeti gang, where are you at? Come on, rebut this terrible study, Yeti gang.
Oh, they are going to. I am making a lot of enemies, as reasonable as this might sound. I'm going to be in big trouble with the like Yeti community.
People like a sexier Yeti explanation for this?
That's
like,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, dude.
Watch, they're going to be like, well, if they use Frozen, we will use the modeling of the child's film Abominable to then prove our Yeti theory. It's like, well, no, that's not what they did. It wasn't just because there was a movie that reinforced their argument. But go at it, Yeti gang. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. They probably will use the fact that, oh, because Frozen. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, did an ice monster do it that Elsa had created?
Right. That's where you realize too, like, you don't get in arguments with conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Because if you're not on the same page, then nothing you're saying is real. And there will be, it's like, I don't even know how you reverse engineer common ground at that point. We're like, all right, well, where can we agree? What's snow? Right. Can we agree that that's frozen, like water that's very in a solid state? Okay. Moving on. What's Russia? And then it all falls apart. Like an experimental ground for like the governments of the world to like create like new bioorganisms that are like just terrorize the earth.
Wait, bro, you think Russia exists? Come on, man.
Right. And you're like,
now who's naive?
Dude, did you say Russia? Like, what?
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. Nancy Pelosi told me about this new treat that she is stocking in her fridge.
In your Telegram channel called Lit Freezers.
Yeah. Jenny's, which is what Nancy Pelosi had her fridge stocked with. It's like $14 a pint ice cream.
It's that, nine, Jack. Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right.
I don't know.
I think it's like 12, maybe.
You guys are just like Nancy Pelosi. You have no idea how much a pint of ice cream actually costs.
I don't know, $43?
So out of touch.
How much is a banana?
Yeah.
Did you guys read there is that interview with Billie Eilish the other day where she was like, I don't know how much cereal costs, so I ordered like what I thought was a box of cereal, and it was like 50 boxes of cereal.
Billie,
she thought a box of cereal was like $50.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
Fucking Billie, no. She doesn't, like, you're too young.
She probably doesn't even know what that means because she's rich for so long.
It's like a combination of like you're a teenager baby who maybe doesn't buy your own groceries and now you're incredibly rich and have no idea how much things cost.
Because she completely skipped that phase of life where you have like a little bit of money that you've earned and you try and go out to eat with your friends.
Right.
That's a very formative period. So if you go straight from, I don't know, every time I go, my parents pay for everything to, I don't know, my accountant, I have a card that my accountant gave me and I waive that at whatever I want. Yeah.
You don't have to choose between like seeing the movie and having dinner.
Exactly. Yeah.
Woo!
Or be like, all right, fuck it. Let's figure out, you got a calculator or just do it on paper with the tax. Okay, so we'll get nachos and then a quesadilla and then we'll all have enough to go in the movie. And then maybe split a smoothie at the end. Okay.
There's also that point where you're growing out of like being young enough where it's still kind of cute that you don't know stuff.
Which is why it's not cute that Nancy Pelosi doesn't know.
Right.
It's a violence. Bad look to have 500 pints of really expensive ice cream in your fridge when people are starving.
And you're like, how much is a vial of insulin, Nancy? I don't know.
She's like, I don't know, like three pints
of
Jenny's?
Ice creams? Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so this boutique creamery Jenny's, it's not really boutique, it's a chain now, right?
They're huge now.
They're huge. But they dropped a flavor, everything bagel, and I don't know if it was viral marketing or whatever, but they...
I'll call it violent marketing.
They had somebody who I follow and trust on social was like, I don't know how it's this good, but it is. And I was like, well, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm worried. Because when I saw the thing, I'm like, get the fuck out of my face with this everything bagel ice cream.
My friend Goldie was like, come on, you cowards. Like, put locks in there.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Let's actually. Yes, I would try that. But
you're gonna do it.
They mention how, you know, the like cream cheese is like a great already stabilizer for ice creams as it is, so you don't have to put in a lot of like artificial things in it. So cream cheese is always like for people who make ice cream isn't anything new. So I was like, okay, fine. I see the logic there, but like, really, like, what's the description? They say it's cream cheese ice cream with everything bagel gravel.
Right. Yeah,
so that
means
like poppy, sesame, onions, and garlic.
Here's what I think. Yeah.
Wait, really? Like, onions and garlic?
Yes.
Yeah, man, that's everything bagel.
Everything bagel. The fuck, Jackie?
I was just thinking like salty. I mean, I love everything bagels and I like a salty, sweet thing, but I didn't think it with garlic.
I'm blaming this entirely on the Trader Joe's Everything Bagel seasoning that came out like last year, where they put all that stuff in a shaker so you could just put it on stuff. And then in true Trader Joe's fashion, they started just making a lot of other products that have the Everything Bagel seasoning on it. So I think kind of the idea of Everything Bagel, there's also just kind of like a bagel boom going on.
For who? You're late to the party, y'all. There's been no bagel boom. I've been down with the bagel boom since the 80s.
I just feel like anytime you make a savory ice cream flavor, you're dancing with the devil.
Did you ever go to Stinking Rose, the garlic restaurant?
Yeah, but I did not get the garlic ice cream. Okay,
so I've had garlic ice cream before, and garlic ice cream isn't bad. You know, it's not like something I go, oh, fuck. Get the garlic ice cream because it's going up tonight. But it's one of those things you eat and you're like, damn, I'm actually more interested because it's not bad. Like, it's.
I honestly think there are. I mean, like, if they didn't call it ice cream, I think that's the key. I think if you made like a, like, I think about this always in the summer, like soup popsicles, like a gazpacho popsicle and like a tomato soup popsicle. maybe not a clam chowder popsicle, but just things like that. Just thinking about it.
But I think you have
chili popsicle.
You got to call it like a granita or something. If you call it an ice cream, like people's minds go to sweet. And I feel like most of the time when people try to do savory, I don't really fuck with all those artisanal ice creams that have like fucking like duck skin in them or whatever. You know, there's been a lot of that lately.
Wait, there was? Man, you got to put me on to that
stuff. Like salt and straw, all their weird ass flavors, you know, things where it's like a thing you wouldn't expect in ice cream that's in ice cream.
Right. And there's a place. It's bad.
There's a place in Philadelphia called Little Babies that did a pizza ice cream.
No, thank you.
Right? Like, I don't want that. I respect its right to exist, but like, no. Okay.
So it's one of those things. The idea you say no to, just like I will say no to everything bagel ice cream. No, don't need it. But we all have this morbid fascination to try. Would you not try this pizza ice cream, Jack?
I'll try anything.
Okay.
I'll try anything for free.
Right.
Right.
All right. Then maybe what we'll do is we could all go in a couple bucks. Maybe we'll have Zeitgang because it's expensive. If the listeners and all of us put in a dollar, we might be able to afford one of these pints.
One of the everything bagel pints?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, this is like related, but did you guys see the mac and cheese, the pink mac and cheese?
Yeah, we talked about it.
It made
last
me
week.
Hate mac and cheese more. By the end of talking about it, I was like, Kraft has lost its way. And it's like the QAnon aunt. You're like, I got to put you to bed now.
I just feel like you could make it pink without making it sweet.
Yeah,
like sweet
absolutely.
Mac and cheese
easily.
Again. But then I'm like, isn't it maybe sweet mac and cheese is just Kugel?
Yeah.
A little bit. I think, again, it's like you just have to have different words for these things. You could talk somebody into a sweet pasta. You just have to not call it Kraft mac and cheese, but it's sweet because then your mind just reels.
Yeah, I guess Kugel would have been better. Because now that you say that, I'll be like, well, yeah, okay.
Because I'm pro, like, dessert pizza. I'm pro a pizzuki.
Well, yeah. I mean, but a pizzuki is, like, not mixing flavors. It's just, like, taking the concept of pizza.
The shapes.
And putting desserts in the shape of pizza. Like, I'm all about that. But, like, trying to make the base of the dessert actual pasta, I
right.
cannot abide it.
It's funny, BJ's, now that you say that, that's one of those restaurants, like, in my late teens that you're like, yo, we're going to BJ's Brewery with our fake IDs, fuck out of here. And then you're like, we can't really afford to drink in public.
Yeah.
No, you can't afford the prices at any of those barcades. Those are for...
Oh, my God. The barcade scene in LA is despicable.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all are charging so much money for these games. Like, no. Have you been to that one spot in Hollywood that's like the pizza, 90s pizza arcade in the before times?
Oh, no, I haven't been in there.
Yeah, the pizza was okay. And they were going for an aggressive 90s aesthetic that just felt a little ham-fisted for me.
It feels ham-fisted, but then there was also that one in like down by Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, this is so stupid. And then I was like, oh, no, they like exactly got all the games.
They nailed it.
Well, they got, it's like it wasn't 80s games. It was like late 80s, early 90s games. So it was like arcade games like we all would have played at a Pizza Hut. And I was like, they got me. God damn it.
You bastards.
I think Button Mash is still in business, too. Maybe.
I mean, I can't imagine the barcade business is like very popping right now. There's one in Echo Park that closed.
Stuff. For me, I did all the experimenting I needed this week when I got a Reese's peanut butter big cup with chunks of pretzel inside.
No, the chips one.
Oh, chips?
I don't know. One with chips.
Oh, really? Oh, the pretzel one is good as fuck.
Oh my God. Her Majesty steals them from set and brings them here.
Wow.
Like any good person, if you have a partner who works in production, they better be stealing from Crafty for you and bringing it home. Yeah. But she came home with him and she's like, you'll never guess what's happened. And I'm like, I don't know. What the fuck? You got a promotion? And she like, I hadn't seen them, but the chip one is fucking
potato.
Really good. Yeah. It's like Ruffles. In there.
Yeah. I will fuck with, some potato chips in there as like a, you know, a salty accent.
That sounds crazy.
I might do this everything bagel ice cream.
You got to do it. I want to know.
Let's do it.
It doesn't. especially because it doesn't have lox in it. Like it sounds like it might not even be that crazy. Like it'll just taste like a cheesecake ice cream, probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. The closest thing they say is like if you've had a garlic ice cream that was good, where it's just like it's subtle, it's there, but you're not like, what the fuck? It's like a frozen bagel. What the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like apparently has.
Like, but I would do like, you know, I would do a sour cream ice cream there. Mm-hmm. There are other, you know, there's like a really good avocado ice cream, the Filipino ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you might not necessarily consider for ice cream. Then you have it in ice cream and you're like, actually, this kind of makes sense.
There's only one way to find out.
All right. Let's finally dig into some wholesomeness that still has like a depressing news peg. So there's this guy, I don't know, did you guys know about Captain Sir Tom Moore?
No.
Okay, so he was a 99-year-old man who was about to turn 100 and decided to raise funds for the NHS by trying to walk 100 laps in his garden before his 100th birthday. And just be like, people just really liked him. He's just like a charming ass old man, to the point that he ended up like collabing with a famous pop star on a song that went to number one in the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
And he raised £35 million for the NHS, which is like incredible. Everybody loved him. He then got knighted. He just passed away from COVID, which is
He's got like a little old man mustache. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
This is going to be Anthony Hopkins' greatest role.
Yeah. It really, yeah. Because
that's so nice.
Like that ending, the third act, you know.
You've got coronavirus, love.
Yeah. Oh, no. He goes, oh, bollocks.
Bollocks, yeah. Oh, bollocks. What's all this then?
I bet I'm like, oh, even if they make it up, this guy has some profound last words. Everyone's going to be sobbing.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah, he spent his final hours with his kids, like reminiscing about their mom who passed away. And just seems generally like an awesome dude.
What a nice palate cleanser from all the other stories.
Yeah. R.I.P. Shout out to him. Shout out to the UK for giving us something to believe in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really speaks to where we're at, where our like new thing to believe in is a recently deceased, very old man.
A recently deceased 100-year-old British army man.
Yeah.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my god, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Guys, customer service is essential to your business success. And for faster, smarter customer experience, you can turbocharge your CX results with CXone, the world's most complete customer experience platform from NICE. It's never been easier for organizations of all sizes around the globe to create extraordinary customer experiences. With the scalability and flexibility of the cloud, you can power up your business goals like never before. So don't get left behind. Find out more today at nice.com. That's nice.com.